or much longer. So we just want to go and look. Where will you go? Said Mary, heavy-eyed and heady.
Headachy.
That's not a proper word.
No, he made it up, I think. Just made it up. Headachy.
Okay, I don't want to read anymore.
Okay. Where's headachy? Show me. Where's headachy? Oh, yeah. Here. Yeah, mine. Oh, no, leave that on.
No, but I like it.
Okay. Headachy. Where were we? Headachy. Okay. After her disturbed night, she and Lyra were on the riverbank, Lyra to wash and Mary to look surreptitiously for the man's footprints. So far she hadn't found any. Don't know, said Lyra, but they're out there somewhere. As soon as we came through from the battle, they ran away as if they didn't trust us anymore. Can't say I blame them either. But we know they're in this world, and we thought we saw them a couple of times, so maybe we can find them. Listen, said Mary reluctantly, and told Lyra what she'd seen the night before. As she spoke, Will came to join them, and both he and Lyra listened, wide-eyed and serious. He's probably just a traveller, and he found a window and wandered through from somewhere else, Lyra said, when Mary had finished. Privately, she had quite different things to think about, and this man wasn't as interesting as they were. Like Will's father did, she went on. There's bound to be all kinds of openings now. Anyway, if he just turned round and left, he can't have meant to do anything bad, can he? I don't know. I don't like it, and I'm worried about you going off on your own. Or I would be if I didn't know you'd already done far more dangerous things than that. Oh, I don't know, but please be careful. Please look all around. At least out in the prairie, you can see someone coming from a long way off. If we do, we can escape straight away into another world, so he won't be able to hurt us, Will said. They were determined to go, and Mary was reluctant to argue. At least, she said, promise that you won't go in among the trees. If that man is still around, he might be hiding in a wood or a grove, and you wouldn't see him in time to escape. We promise, said Lyra. Well, I'll pack you some food in case you're out all day. Mary took some flatbread and cheese and some sweet, thirst-quenching red fruits, wrapped them in a cloth and tied a cord around it for one of them to carry over a shoulder. Good hunting, she said as they left. Please take care. She was still anxious. She stood watching them all the way to the foot of the slope. I wonder why she's so sad, Will said, as he and Lyra climbed the road up to the ridge. She's probably wondering if she'll ever go home again, said Lyra, and if her laboratory's still to be hers when she does. And maybe she's sad about the man she was in love with. Said Will.
Keep going.
Do you think we'll ever go home? Dunno. I don't suppose I've got a home anyway. They probably couldn't have me back at Jordan College. And I can't live with the bears or the witches. Maybe I could live with the Egyptians. I wouldn't mind that if they'd have me. What about Lord Asriel's world? Wouldn't you want to live there? It's going to fail, remember, she said. Why? Because of what your father's ghost said just before we came out. About demons and how they can only live for a long time if they stay in their own world. But probably Lord Asriel, I mean my father, couldn't have thought about that because no one knew enough about other worlds when he started all that, she said wonderingly. All that bravery and skill, all that, all wasted, all for nothing. They climbed on, finding the going easy on the rock road. And when they reached the top of the ridge, they stopped and looked back. Will, she said. Supposing we don't find them? I'm sure we will. What I'm wondering is what my Damon will be like. You saw her, and I picked her up, said Lyra, blushing, because of course it was a gross violation of manners to touch something so private as someone else's Damon. It was forbidden, not only by politeness, but by something deeper than that, something like shame. A quick glance at Will's warm cheeks showed that he knew that just as well as she did. She couldn't tell whether he also felt that half-frightened, half-excited feeling as she did, the one that had come over her the night before. Here it was again. They walked on side by side, suddenly shy with each other, but Will, not put off by being shy, said, "When does your Damon stop changing shape?" "About our age, or a bit older. Maybe more sometimes. We used to talk about Pan's settling, him and me. We used to wonder what he'd be like." "Don't people have any idea?" "Not when they're young. As you grow up, you start thinking, well, they might be this or they might be that, and usually they might end up something that fits. I mean, something like your real nature. Like if your Damon's a dog, that means you like doing what you're told and knowing who's boss and following orders and pleasing people who are in charge. A lot of servants are people whose Damons are dogs, so it helps to know what you're like and to find out what you're good at. How do people in your world know what they're like?" "I don't know. I don't know much about my world. All I know is keeping secret and quiet and hidden, so I don't know much about grown-ups and friends or lovers. I think it'll be difficult having a Damon because everyone would know so much about you just by looking. I like to keep secret and stay out of sight." "Then maybe your Damon's be an animal that's good at hiding, or one of those animals that looks like another. A butterfly that looks like a wasp for disguise. They must have creatures like that in your world, because we have, and we're so much alike." They walked on together in a friendly silence. All around them the wide, clear morning lay limpid in the hollows and pearly blue in the warm sky above. As far as the eye could see, the great savannah rolled, brown, gold, buff green, shimmering towards the horizon, and empty. They might have been the only people in the world. "But it's not empty, really," Lyra said.
"You mean that man?"
"No, you know what I mean." "Yes, I do. I can see shadows in the grass. Maybe birds," Will said. He was following the little darting movements here and there. He found it easier to see the shadows if he didn't look at them. They were more willing to show themselves to the corner of his eye, and when he said so to Lyra, she said, "It's negative capability."
"What's that?"
"The poet Keats said it first. Dr. Malone knows. It's how I read the altiometer. It's how you use the knife, isn't it?"
"Yes, I suppose it is.
But I was just thinking that they might be the Damons." "So was I, but..." She put her finger to her lips. He nodded. "Look," he said. "There's one of those fallen trees. It was Mary's climbing tree. He went up to it carefully, keeping an eye on the grove in case another one should fall. In the calm morning, with only a faint breeze stirring the leaves, it seemed impossible that a mighty thing like this should ever topple. But here it was. The vast trunk supported in the grove by its torn-up roots and out on the grass by the mass of branches was high above their heads. Some of those branches, crushed and broken, were themselves as big as the biggest trees Will had ever seen. The crown of the tree, tight-packed with boughs that still looked sturdy, leaves that were still green, towered like a ruined palace into the mild air. Suddenly Lyra gripped Will's arm. "Shh," she whispered. "Don't look. I'm sure they're up there. I saw something move, and I swear it was Pan." Her arm was warm. He was more aware of that than of the great mass of leaves and branches above them. Pretending to gaze vacantly at the horizon, he let his attention wander upwards into the confused mass of green, brown and blue, and there. She was right. There was something that was not the tree, and beside it, another. "Walk away," said Will under his breath. "We'll go somewhere else and see if they follow us."
Suppose they don't. But yes, all right, Lyra whispered back. They pretended to look all around. They set their hands on one of the branches resting on the ground, as if they were intending to climb. They pretended to change their mind by shaking their heads and walking away. I wish we could look behind, Lyra said, when they were a few hundred yards away. Just go on walking, they can see us, and they won't get lost. They'll come to us when they want to. They stepped off the black road and into the knee-high grass, swishing their legs through the stems, watching the insects hovering, darting, fluttering, skimming, hearing the million-voiced chorus chirrup and scrape. What are you going to do, Will? Lyra said quietly after they'd walked some way in silence. Well, I've got to go home, he said. She thought he sounded unsure, though. She hoped he sounded unsure. But they might still be after you, she said, those men. We've seen worse than them, after all. Yes, I suppose, but I wanted to show you Jordan College and the Fens. I wanted us to... Yes, he said, and I wanted. It would be good to go to Sitagaze again, even. It was a beautiful place, and if the spectres are all gone... But there's my mother. I've got to go back and look after her. I just left her with Mrs. Cooper, and it's not fair on either of them. But it's not fair on you to have to do that. No, he said, but that's a different sort of not fair. That's just like an earthquake or a rainstorm. It might not be fair, but no one's to blame. But if I just leave my mother with an old lady who isn't very well herself, then that's a different kind of not fair. That would be wrong. I've just got to go home. But probably it's going to be difficult to go back as we were. Probably the secret's out now. I don't suppose Mrs. Cooper will have been able to look after her. Not if my mother's in one of those times when she gets frightened of things. So she probably had to get help, and when I get back I'll be made to go into some kind of institution. No, like an orphanage. I think that's what they do. I just don't know. I'll hate it. You could escape with the knife, Will. You could come to my world. I still belong there, where I can be with her. When I'm grown up, I'll be able to look after her properly in my own house. No one can interfere then. Do you think you'll get married? He was quiet for a long time. She knew he was thinking, though. I can't see that far ahead, he said. It would have to be someone who understands about... I don't think there's anyone like that in my world. Would you get married? Me too, she said, and her voice wasn't quite steady. Not to anyone in my world, I shouldn't think. They walked on slowly, wandering towards the horizon. They had all the time in the world, all the time the world had. After a while, Lyra said, you will keep the knife, won't you? So you could visit my world. Of course, I certainly wouldn't give it to anyone else, ever. Don't look, she said, not altering her pace. There they are again, on the left. They are following us, said Will, delighted. Shh, I thought they would. Okay, let's just pretend now. We'll just wander along as if we're looking for them, and we look in all sorts of stupid places. It became a game. They found a pond and searched among the reeds and in the mud, saying loudly that the daemons were bound to be shaped like frogs or water beetles or slugs. They peeled off the bark of a long fallen tree at the edge of a string wood grove, pretending to have seen the two daemons creeping underneath it in the form of earwigs. Lyra made a great fuss of an ant she claimed to have trodden on, sympathizing with its bruises, saying in its face was just like Pan's, asking in mock sorrow why it was refusing to speak to her. But when she thought they were genuinely out of earshot, she said earnestly to Will, leaning close to speak quietly, we had to leave them, didn't we? We didn't have a choice, really. Yes, we had to. It was worse for you than for me, but we didn't have any choice at all. Because you made a promise to Roger, and you had to keep it. And you had to speak to your father again. And we had to let them all out. Yes, we did. I'm so glad we did. Pan will be glad one day, too, when I die. We won't be split up. It was a good thing we did. As the sun rose higher in the sky and the air became warmer, they began to look for shade. Towards noon, they found themselves on the slope, rising towards the summit of a ridge, and when they'd reached it, Lyra flopped down in the grass and said, "Well, if we don't find something shady soon..." There was a valley leading down on the other side, and it was thick with bushes. Grace, I'm going to read until the end of that page down there. Right? It goes on for a very long time. It's too long.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It is.
Look, it's not.
That is too many pages. I'm not going to read that much.
I'm Please.
To... No, it's late and I'm only going down to there.
Dad, that's only a tiny
Darling,
bit.
Darling, I'm not going to read another 4 pages. No.
That much.
No, I'm not. No. No, I'm stopping there. Right? I'm stopping there. Right? There was a valley leading down on the other side, and it was thick with bushes, so they guessed there might be a stream as well. They traversed the slope of the ridge till it dipped into the heads of the valley, and there, sure enough, among ferns and reeds, a spring bubbled out of the rock. They dipped their hot faces in the water and swallowed gratefully. And then they followed the stream downwards, seeing it gather in miniature whirlpools and pour over thin ledges of stone, and all the time getting fuller and wider. "How does it do that?" Lyra marvelled. "There is no more water coming into it from anywhere else, but there's so much more of it here than up there." Will watched the shadows out of the corner of his eye, saw them slip away, leaping over the ferns to disappear into the bushes further down. He pointed silently. "It just goes slower," he said. "It doesn't flow as fast as the spring comes out, so it gathers in these pools." "They've gone in there," he whispered, indicating a little group of trees at the foot of the slope. Lyra's heart was beating so fast she felt the pulse in her throat. She and Will looked at each other, a curiously formal and serious look, before setting off to follow the stream. The undergrowth got thicker as they went down the valley. The stream went into tunnels of green and emerged in dappled clearings, only to tumble over a lip of stone and bury itself in the green again, and they had to follow it as much by hearing as by sight. At the foot of the hill, it ran into a little wood of silver-barked trees. Father Gomez watched from the top of the ridge. Remember him?
Yes.
It hadn't been hard to follow them. Despite Mary's confidence in the open savanna, there were plenty of concealment. There was plenty of concealment in the grass and the occasional thickets of string wood and sap lacquer bushes. The two young people had spent a lot of time either looking all around as if they thought they were being followed, and he had to keep some distance away, but as the morning passed, they became more and more absorbed in each other and paid less attention to the landscape. The one thing he didn't want to do was hurt the boy. He had a horror of harming an innocent person. The only way to make sure of his target was to get close enough to see her clearly, which meant following them into the wood. Quietly and cautiously, he moved down the course of the stream. His daemon was the green-backed beetle. It flew overhead, tasting the air. Her eyesight was less good than his, but her sense of smell was acute, and she caught the scent of the young people's flesh very clearly. She would go a little ahead, perch on a stem of grass and wait for him, and then move on again. And as she caught the trail in the wind that their bodies left behind, Father Gomez found himself praising God for his mission, because it was clearer than ever that the boy and girl were walking into mortal sin. And there it was, the dark blonde movement that was the girl's hair. He moved a little closer and took out the rifle. There was a telescopic sight.
Mortal sin? What do you mean?
They were walking into mortal sin.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
We'll have to find out. I think it is something terrible, though.